We're here this morning to witness the baptisms of Sean the father. This is Connor and Scott Asola. Connor, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then, upon your profession of faith in Jesus and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Scott, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I don't know if he's ready for this yet.
I've been sweating bullets over this one. Sean, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Here I am, walking down my own road. I don't want any help. I can get there on my own. I lay there at night, wiping my eyes. I'm so tensed up. I keep it bundled inside. I want to reach out, but I don't know how. Oh, who can I trust? Can someone help me out? And then I finally open my eyes to reality. And I see the good book on the end table next to me. And to my surprise, I learn about a man. His name is God. He died for me. And I finally open my eyes to reality. And I see the good book on the end table next to me. And to my surprise, I learn about a man. His name is God. He died for me. Later that night, I got down on my knees, and I bowed my head to pray, and I gave my life to Him. My heart opened up, and He took away my sin, and He wrapped His arms around me, and He showed me the light, and I finally opened my eyes to reality. And I see the good book on the end table next to me. And to my surprise, I learn about a man. His name is God. He died for me. And I finally open my eyes to reality. And I see the good book on the end table next to me. And to my surprise, I learn about a man. His name is God. He died for me. His name is God. He died for me.
Where'd you go, Vince?
I went to Portola Station Baptist Church to go to camp.
Where'd you camp at?
Frenchman Lake.
And what happened the first day you got there? What happened when your mom got down to the church?
No one was there.
So how did you feel?
Did
you feel lost? Scared?
I felt worried that we spent 90 bucks for nothing.
So, what happened then?
A guy showed up, and he told us that that we were leaving at noon. We got there at 9.
So, did you meet anybody?
I met one of my friends that I made down at camp. His name is Carson.
You got to hang out with Carson that morning before you went to camp?
Yeah.
Cool. So, then Mom left and you went to camp. What'd you do then?
I played ladder ball.
What else?
That's mostly it.
Did you eat lunch?
No.
Did you have dinner?
Yes.
What'd you have for dinner?
Tacos, I think.
Was it good?
Yeah.
So, what did you guys do at night?
We slept in tents.
Did you have campfire time?
No.
Why not?
We didn't have campfires because the fire danger was too high.
So, you couldn't have campfires. What'd you do instead?
Story time.
What kind of story time?
Bible story.
What'd you learn about?
The guy who was lowered down from the roof.
And what happened to the guy that they put through the roof?
He got stabbed in the back, was paralyzed.
Did he hurt himself?
No.
Well, what happened to him when he got dropped through the roof?
He didn't get dropped through the roof.
Well, what'd they do?
They put him on a board and chipped through the roof.
Okay. So what happened to him when they lowered him through the roof?
Nothing. Jesus told him to walk, and he walked.
Okay. So you learned about Bible stories, and you learned about what Jesus can do. What else did you guys do at camp?
We learned songs.
What kind of songs?
Funny songs.
Two songs. First song is called Bumblebee. Go ahead. Okay, look at mommy and pretend you're doing it for mommy.
I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? Ow! It stung me. I'm squishing up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? I'm squishing up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? Oh, a mess. I'm licking up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? I'm licking up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? I don't feel so good. I'm picking up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? I'm puking up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mama be so proud of me? Oh, another mess. I'm sweeping up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? I'm sweeping up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? How better?
What else did you do at camp? What else did you do at camp?
We had a treasure hunt.
Did you find anything cool?
No. Just chocolate.
Vince doesn't like chocolate. So, let's see. You learned about God.
Yeah.
And you learned about faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
What can Jesus do for you?
Heal you.
He can heal you. And you had a little bit of fun. Yeah. How was the lake?
Cold and weird.
Why was it weird?
Because there were lots of dragonflies in it, and there were, it was really mucky and seaweedy.
So did you get to go swimming?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically you had fun, and you stayed up late at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except on the third night, we had to listen to an iPod.
What was on the iPod?
Rock music.
What kind of rock music?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you didn't really get into it?
No.
Okay.
I was asleep.
Do you want to go back next year?
Yeah.
Do you think anybody else would like to go?
Spencer said he wanted to go, and so did Gabe.
So maybe next year we ought to go around and tell people about this camp?
Yep.
Okay. So you want to say any closing words?
What about my other song?
You want to do your other song? His other song is called Raindrop.
Raindrops.
Raindrops, excuse me.
Raindrops and snowflakes.
Okay, take it away, kid.
If all of the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be. If all of the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be. I stand outside with my mouth open wide. If all of the snowflakes are Hershey bars and milkshakes, oh, what a snow that would be. If all of the snowflakes were Hershey bars and milkshakes, oh, what a snow that would be. I stand outside with my mouth open wide. Yeah. All of the snow, raindrops, or lemon drops and gumdrops. Oh, what a snow that rain would be. If all of the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be. If all of the snowflakes were lemon drops. Oh, I forgot. I'm done.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, and all of you be still. Will I stand in your presence? Where to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will we be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Hey, imagine. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 6, 9-10. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, I thought this morning we'd look at the Lord's Prayer, a preliminary look. We're going to look at the first part of the Lord's Prayer. I've been thinking a lot about the Lord's Prayer. I know it's a favorite of many of you. The words have been going through my mind, and I'm going to share what I think the Lord intended when He taught this prayer to His disciples. And we are their descendants today. We who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are the ones that Jesus is teaching how to pray. So may we learn the lessons that the Lord would have for us. There's certainly no more beloved prayer in all of the Bible, or any literature for that matter, than the so-called Lord's Prayer. Now that's a name that we gave it. It's not really found in the Bible. But I like to think of it as a model for our praying. It's more than just words that we should repeat as our own prayer. But I think God and our Savior Jesus intended that we kind of fill in the outline, as it were, of the Lord's Prayer. So what can we learn about these opening phrases? We're going to look at just verses 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 6. And you might want to open your Bible there. I put the verses there, but I left out a word or two maybe. And it might be helpful for you to see the context in which Jesus spoke this. It was the Sermon on the Mount. You may know that. So what can we learn from these opening phrases? Well, first of all, we can learn about the person of our praying. That is, who we are to pray to. Now, I don't think it's wrong to pray to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit, for that matter. They're all God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus instructed that we are to pray our Father, which art in heaven. You may know that the biblical pattern, I believe, is to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Because that's what our Lord did. That's what our Lord taught here. And there are some lessons that I want us to notice here about the person. First of all, there is His nature expressed here in the term Father. God's nature is expressed in this name Father. That's what our Savior, Jesus, loved to commune with. He loved to commune with His Heavenly Father. And so He instructed that we are to pray to Him as our Heavenly Father. Now, sadly, we have many examples, poor examples of fatherhood, and to some degree, of course, we're all poor examples. We're nowhere near the example that our Heavenly Father is. But remember that God is love, the Bible says. And I think that this will color our praying when we understand that God is like a Heavenly Father. He wants to give good things to His children. I know all of you fathers do. You want to give the best to your children. That's really, I think, something that we do naturally because we are created in the image of God. And we want to be like Him. Especially the more we get to know our Heavenly Father and have come to know Him and in a much more intimate way, because I trust you, like I have been born again. You've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And like Sean and his family and others that have given a testimony of their faith in Jesus and have received Him as Savior, we can call Him our Father. So it expresses His nature. It expects His nurture as well. This address, if you will, of our prayers, our Father. It expresses or it expects His nurture. Again, I think we're often maybe have some negative feelings about this. I know I do. I had a wonderful father. He's in heaven now. He was a Christian father. He had some failings. You know, I thought he had. I kind of kept a list of them up until I was about 20 years old. And then as I got older, I got a little wiser. And especially as I had children, and I realized how hard a job that is, I began to be a little more humble about it and to realize that as fathers, we all fail. But one thing we did expect from our fathers is that they nurture us, that they take care of us, that they provide for us. When I was a boy and I had a need that I just couldn't find a solution for, I would go to my father. And even as I grew older, I would get on the phone and talk to my father. It's a little like that in prayer. We bring our petitions, our needs, those things that we cannot solve, those problems we cannot solve ourselves, and we bring them to our Heavenly Father. Actually, the Bible says to pray about everything. So we are to lift up prayers to our Heavenly Father, expecting His nurture. But also this term, Father, exalts His name. I love that about our God, our Creator, that He is our Father as well. There's an intimacy there that we don't find in other religions or other concepts of God. Really, the Bible says there's only one God, and He is Father. We are to come to Him as our Father. And let me just say that if you find it difficult to address God as your Father, maybe you have not become a part of His family through faith in Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you to invite Jesus to come into your life. If you've never done that, realize that He died for your sins. He paid your penalty on the cross, and invite Him in to your life. And you'll be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And you can call God your Father in a way that you never could really quite understand before. There's also here the priority of praying that we can learn about here. Jesus said, instructed our Father which art in heaven, or who art in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, did you notice that when in this prayer, model prayer, I believe that Jesus taught us to be a model for our own praying, that He didn't instruct that we're to come with a list of needs right out, you know, right off the bat. I know we like to do that. And there are times that probably we should do that, especially if we have an urgent need, a need for God's protection, an urgent need for God's provision. God does say, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. So there is a time for that kind of praying. But in our normal praying, we are to here worship the Lord, first of all. I think that's really could sum up what Jesus is saying here. Your name be honored as holy, or hallowed be thy name, the King James Version's translation. And your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It expresses a priority. First of all, there's a fact of that priority. And that fact is that God is holy. Now, we can't change that. We can't add to that even by words. But we simply acknowledge what is true when we pray, that He is holy. And I think when we understand that, then we realize, too, that we are unholy. And it leads us to the next part of this prayer that we'll look at next week, confessing and asking forgiveness for our sins, our debts, Jesus called them. And we'll talk about that. That's very important. But I want us to realize that how important it is to focus on God. There's a fact that God is holy. There's a focus here that Jesus taught in the book of James. James is a very practical book. You may know that James was the human brother of Jesus, actually half-brother. He said in that book of James, he said that we are to realize that all good and perfect gifts come from our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights. So we are to focus on Him, to realize that we're not able to solve our own problems, but that God, our Heavenly Father, can. So there should be a focus here in our praying, a faith as well. It takes faith to pray. In fact, that same book of James talks about how if we waver in faith, we should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. I don't know whether you probably had a father like mine, and sometimes I would come to him and I didn't have much faith. You know, I'd ask him for, back then it was a nickel. You know, a nickel was actually worth something, and you could actually buy something with a nickel. So, you know, I would come to him sometimes and I would think, well, you know, I'll ask him. He probably won't give it to me, but I'll ask him anyway. And that's trivial, of course, a nickel. But there were things that were really important to me. And sometimes I would come to him and wonder, you know, is he going to really sympathize with me? And, you know, as a father, I understand that. I understand how impatient sometimes we can be with our children. You know, we love them when they're small, but we wish they would grow up. But when they do, we long for those days. And you know, we realize as we grow older, especially, how miserably we fail as fathers. And we sometimes really afflict ourselves over that. And then don't take that to the Lord. That's a sin as well. But our Father is not like that. Our Heavenly Father is not like that. Jesus said that if you have a mountain, He said, pray that that mountain will be removed. And if you believe, it will be removed. That God is a God who delights in answering prayer. He delights in meeting our needs. Now, you can pray for $1 million, and God may not give it to you, probably in wisdom, because He knows you don't really need that. But the things that you really need, be confident that God is concerned about your need. He's your Heavenly Father, and bring your petitions before Him. I believe that's what Jesus is teaching us here, teaching us about the person of our praying and the priority of our praying, but also about the purpose of our praying. Here, Jesus said, instructed to pray, "Your kingdom come," praying to our Father, our Heavenly Father, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, I believe in these phrases here, we're taught, first of all, about a God to honor. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And before that, it said, "Hallowed be Your name. Your name be honored as holy," this translation says. So we honor God when we pray. And I think in the Scriptures we have some good examples of that. I remember the centurion who came to Jesus. He wasn't even a Jewish person. He wasn't a believer, so far as we know, at least in our sense of that term. But he came to Jesus and he said, "My servant is sick." And Jesus said, "I will go and heal him." I just love that about our Lord. There's no shortage in His supply. There's no weakness in the power that He can give. And we honor God when we pray. I think of this Syrophoenician woman too, who was not Jewish, but she came and she bowed down to Jesus. And she had a need in her family. I believe it was a little girl that was sick. And she brought that need before the Lord. And Jesus encouraged her for her great faith. It shows faith. It honors God when we pray. And on the opposite side of that, we are in effect, when we don't pray, we are in effect saying to God, that favorite phrase of all children, I know I repeated it many times to my parents, and I've said it many times since, "I can do it myself." Have you done that? Have you been there? I think we all have. And when we neglect to pray, that's in effect what we're saying to God. It's almost like a slap in His face, because He wants to meet our needs, but He wants us to come to Him for them. It honors Him when we pray. So there's a God to honor. There's a kingdom to enlarge when we pray. Jesus commanded that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. He gave us marching orders, if you will, to build up His kingdom through bringing others into the kingdom. I think you know what the first command given to the human race was: be fruitful and multiply. And God wants us to do that in the spiritual realm. And I believe that when we pray that prayer and pray it with understanding and with a heart that is willing to obey our Heavenly Father, believe that's what the Lord is saying here. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, can you see yourself praying some of the prayers that you might be inclined to pray after praying that? You know, "Lord, help me win the lottery," or something like that. I mean, I think we all pray some prayers like that sometimes. But I think if we will understand that there is a purpose that Jesus is teaching here in our praying, first of all, to honor God, secondly, to enlarge His kingdom, and thirdly, to obey His will. Jesus said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And of course, that on earth means that in our hearts, we want His will to be done. I think it'll change. It'll transform the way we pray if we will pray as Jesus taught us to pray here. These are more than just words to be repeated, but this is a prayer that Jesus, I believe, wanted to be a model for our own praying. May we learn the lesson of the Lord's Prayer, the lessons, because there are more than one. But as the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," may we also say to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Thank you.
faithful. You are Savior, you are friend. You are all I've ever need. You are every question answered. You are every reason why. You are moving, you are still, Lord, you are. You are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. Morning Star.